Good morning, everyone. Russ Martin, and we're pleased to have with us today State Representative from District 16, Kendall Culp. Good morning, Kendall.
Morning, Russ. Great to talk to you this morning.
Kendall's district, for those people that may not know, are portions of Jasper, Pulaski, Stark, and White counties. I wanted to speak with you today about any legislation you've proposed and one that's passed the General Assembly.
Sure. That's House Bill 1557. That's my inventory of lost farmland bill. Just yesterday, that passed the Senate and now heads to the governor for his signatures. And that will become official here in a short time. Did pass the House unanimously, passed the Senate Ag Committee unanimously, and then only had two opposing votes in the Senate. And what that does, it takes inventory of the last 12 years of farmland lost in Indiana to any use. It also, besides identifying the acres, it does determine what the use it was lost to, which I think will be helpful as we look forward to see what development is taking place and where it's taking place in Indiana. We all know that we need development, we need growth. That's helpful for our counties and our communities, but many times it comes with a cost. Part of this bill has a food security component to it. So there's a lot of concerns. I know a lot of constituents have talked to me about loss of farmland and loss of food production and what that means. Once we determine the acres per county, and we can use some other National Agriculture Statistics Service, we could determine how many acres of corn and soybeans, for example, are raised in those counties, and then plug those percentages in, as well as an economic impact. So we can use current market prices for those commodities used or grown and determine what the economic loss is as well. I'm anxious for that to get started. That study will be conducted by the State Department of Agriculture. The Department of Local Government Finance believes they have all the data they need, so it'll be easy for those two departments to work together to try to come up with the numbers. And again, once we have that data, we'll be able to make some smart decisions, I think. And if there is need for some sort of farmland protection program, then we'll have that data to back that up. And then that could be coming at a future session.
Kendall, you've authored, I believe, seven pieces of legislation and co-authored, I think, eight others and one resolution. Are there any pieces of legislation that are moving along that you'd like to talk about today?
Just briefly, I have one other bill that's also in the Senate, House Bill 1132, which creates a land use task force to look at land use issues in our communities. We need to prepare for growth so our communities can continue to be vibrant and resilient and can continue to grow into the future. That bill has passed the House again unanimously, is in the Senate. We hope to get a hearing for that within the next couple of weeks in committee, and then we'll see where that goes. It's a 13-member task force that would be appointed by the governor, who would have legislators and folks from agriculture and the construction industry, planning and development industry, and several different groups would be represented on there to look at smart growth opportunities for communities that really want to participate in that. I do have a couple other bills that have been added to a larger bill. But what's important is that they get passed, and those both have to do with local emergency services, EMS, and fire. One of those bills, if the county provides EMS service, that they could institute for a funding source an additional local option income tax to help fund those ambulances. And the other then would be at the township level, that if the local advisory board decides, then they would take that their funding for fire and EMS, and you would split those into two categories on your budget. Currently, it's all just listed under fire, and then there seems to be in some communities a lot of competition between paramedics and firemen, for example, for those dollars. This way, the board would determine that and would go through the budget process, would be advertised that way, and we hope it'll bring a lot more harmony, I guess, and camaraderie between those groups.
Well, speaking of the budget, this is the what they refer to as the long session when the legislature comes up with a two-year budget. Where does that stand at this time?
The House has passed the budget, so the way that process works, the governor submits a budget to the House, which is the Ways and Means Committee. That's the budget writing committee in the House. That's where that has to start. They've taken a good share of what the governor's priorities were and included in House Bill 1001, the budget bill. That bill has been passed by the House and is over in the Senate. The Senate Appropriations Committee can take that. They can rework it all together. They can use a share of what we do, or they can adopt it all. So they kind of insert their priorities, and then that will eventually come come to a conference committee at the end of the session that get hammered out. It does make historic investments in K through 12 education. It does continue what has the longstanding practice here in Indiana where the dollars follow the student. I know that's controversial in some areas. About 90%+ of our students in Indiana choose a public school to have their children educated in. That's a great thing. So there's a lot of dollars provided there. It does speed up some tax cuts. The Indiana's income tax is planned by 2029 to go down to 2.7%. This would speed that up. It would go down to 2.9% by 2026. So it would actually lower the income tax rate here in Indiana for individual income taxpayers. It also would take the remaining sales tax on fuel, and instead of that going to the state general fund, would redirect that to roads and bridge construction. That's a real positive thing, too, is every time you fuel up your vehicle with gas or diesel, whatever that case may be, that sales tax is going to go back into roads. That's just a couple of things. That's a very comprehensive bill. There's a lot of different moving parts to that. But, of course, education is a big part of that. Higher education, most of the colleges and universities in the state all get a dollar amount, not only for operations or whatever, but capital request. I know Purdue would like to build a new pharmacy school. That's funded. And I would say everything in that budget is paid for in cash. So many times there's bonding authority granted to universities for construction. This actually pays cash for all of that. We're in a really good position financially in Indiana. Our AAA bond rating continues to be very helpful to local units of government when they're borrowing. So this truly is a balanced budget with still $3 billion left in reserves.
You, of course, are a freshman legislator. Your comments?
It's an exciting time, certainly, to be a legislator here. I guess everything I expected it to be, and I appreciate the constituents that have reached out and shared their concerns. I had over 1,100 complete my legislative survey at the end of the year, and I continue to review those, glean from those. It's interesting, the views. There's a lot of support for education. There's a lot of concern about renewable energy and the loss of farmland. That's why I think my lost farmland bill is very pertinent to District 16. But it's a great process. Looking forward to, as we move into the second half a little deeper here, and we're now reviewing Senate bills that they passed over to us, and we'll hear those in committee. Committees meet every day throughout the week, and we'll continue to work towards April the 28th, our last day of the session.
Kendall, you mentioned that several constituents have reached out to you, and if others would like to do that, how would they go about doing so?
Sure. Well, the best way is would be an email, and that would be to h16@iga.in.gov. That's h16@iga.in.gov. Or they can call. Someone will answer the phone at 317-232-9600. Feel free to contact me either way.
Our guest today has been Indiana State Representative from District 16, Kendall Culp, talking about many of the things going on in the legislature. And Kendall, we'll talk to you again soon.
I look forward to that, Russ.